Hello and welcome back to Science Unscripted. Gabe here, sans my comrade Connor Dillon, but with the sound technician Christoph Grove, otherwise known as the Groove Master General, a name bequeathed upon Christoph by Connor. I would personally like to add to that name Groove Maestro General.
That's talking crutch.
No? No. Okay. Anyways, I have a job to do, and today we have a really important topic. Do you ever think about how healthcare workers on the front line against COVID-19 are doing? I mean, really think about it. I mean, before I read about the study that we're going to be delving into on today's show, I guess I've seen some of the pictures of the indentations, the red marks on the faces of nurses and doctors who have had goggles on and protective face masks and things on for 12-hour shifts. But today, we're going to be looking at the scars that you can't see. A study is underway right now looking at the psychological impact that the pandemic has had on nurses, first responders, doctors, people working in healthcare on the front line. We're going to be hearing from lead author Andrew Smith of the University of Utah in the Western United States.
Science Unscripted.
My name is Andrew Smith. I'm a faculty member at the University of Utah School of Medicine, Department of Psychiatry. I'm a clinical psychologist, and I'm the founder and director of the Occupational Trauma Program, where we research and treat first responders, healthcare workers, law enforcement officers who experience trauma as a function of their occupations.
Andrew, you're working on a study right now about what healthcare workers or frontline workers are going through on a psychological level. How bad is it for them?
Well, that's an open question that we're intending to study over time, and that's a question that can only be answered over time. But at the outset of the pandemic in the Rocky Mountain West, it looked like about 56% of emergency responders and healthcare workers screening positive for a stress-related syndrome risk. And that's depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress symptoms, alcohol use risk, and insufficient sleep as our primary outcomes there.
Half of the people that you spoke with or surveyed said they were having at least one mental issue.
That's correct. And when we think about that, these are screening instruments, so they're not diagnostic in nature. But with these normative screening instruments, 56% are saying, I'm in distress of some kind that looks like it could be diagnostic if not dealt with.
I understand that your background is in disasters and how human beings respond to disasters. And I've also seen that you describe what frontline healthcare workers are going through right now as domestic combat. Why do you use that metaphor? It's because it's really interesting. We were in Belgium in October, speaking with a doctor there at a hospital where healthcare workers were forced to go in, even if they had COVID-19. That's how bad it was there. And he referred to it as a war zone. Why are people using this metaphor when it comes to describing the what healthcare workers have to go through right now?
Yeah, I think that it is appropriate to think about it that way. And when we think about domestic combat, there are two words in that. I'll start with the word combat. The way that it feels like combat is that there's uncertainty. There's a lot of unknowns, especially in the beginning, there are a lot of unknowns. It's day after day, so it's kind of grueling and unremitting. And the self is at risk. So you're putting yourself at risk each day to go and do this hard work. Now there's meaning in that mission, but there's also extraordinary stress in that mission. So that's the combat piece. The domestic part makes it different than kind of a war zone or a combat zone. And that is these folks, emergency responders, healthcare workers, are being asked to do this kind of combat and then return to their families each night. So putting on the hat of preparing oneself to go and experience this stress and tolerate it at work and in the war zone, and then having to put on a different hat when you walk through the front door to help fix dinner and do homework with your kids and put your kids to bed and have, you know, supportive conversations with your partner. These are all difficult tasks, and fluctuating between these two environments is really challenging.
Your overall goal with this research is to help these people, but I'm just wondering what exactly can be done, because at the end of the day, somebody has to do this work. There has to be someone on the front line. Or do we just have to accept that mental problems are part of the job?
I mean, there is that's a really good question. It's a complicated answer. I think this is where it looks a little bit like combat. You know, politics aside, somebody has to go and fight the wars that we start. Now, you could say that those soldiers volunteered for that work by signing up. It's a little bit different for healthcare providers who have never been through something quite like this before. So it does appear that we've asked healthcare providers to put themselves at risk for everybody's well-being to uphold this infrastructure. I think the complicating factor is that, at least here in the United States, people are struggling. Healthcare workers are struggling watching their fellow community members continue to put healthcare workers at risk by not following the safety protocols that would reduce hospitalization rates. That's a perfect milieu for burnout and cynicism and the kinds of things that create long-term problems.
Apart from following the rules, Andrew, is there anything that we can do? I mean, not non-healthcare first frontline responders. Is there anything we could? I remember at the beginning of the pandemic when people were clapping on their balconies and offering their support and honoring the sacrifices made. And I remember reading on Reddit while that was going on comments and posts from nurses who just hated the clapping. Did you get a sense from the people that you spoke to? Is that kind of support, does that make them angry or do they appreciate it?
That's a really interesting question. The metaphor that I have for that or whatever is the way that combat veterans feel about being told thank you for your service. I am a combat veteran, and I for the longest time when I came back from my last deployment and started college, I sort of cringed when somebody said that to me. And among my fellow veterans, that was always kind of a conversation about how superficial that felt. I've come to a different understanding of that, which is it takes humility in some sense when somebody says thank you for your service, who doesn't have to make the same kinds of sacrifices. If the person who's saying thank you for your services understands that saying thank you for your service is not a sufficient response, you know, it's a fine thing to say in my estimation, but it's not sufficient for the sacrifice that the healthcare worker is making.
Do you have children, Andrew?
I do. 3-year-old and a 6-year-old. They're out in the living room right now.
What would you say to your kids if they told you at some point that they want to become a nurse or a first responder or an ER doctor?
I mean, do we have control over what our kids become? I think there's a lot of honor and respect in those things. I think there's a cost to being, especially in the emergency kind of settings, there's a biological cost to that.
You know, the psychological cost.
Yeah. Yep. There's a cost to sleep systems. There's a cost to long-term health. There's a cost to relationships. This is going to be divorces. It's going to be weight gain. It's going to be, I mean, it's going to be the kinds of things that age people. So that's what this is going to do to these folks. It probably isn't going to come out right away as depression, but it's going to be all the things that lead people to bad outcomes. You know, when somebody's in their early 20s and they're deciding often what they're going to do, I think it's more passion driven. It's more meaning driven. And those costs aren't really weighed. So I would help them make that decision for themselves with full knowledge that there's a cost. And but when my kids are making that choice, they're not going to listen to me.
For me, it's just, before we go here, it's just the dark irony of what's going on. I mean, to decide to become a nurse or a first responder, the motivation for that has to be selfless, right? It has to come for a genuine desire to help and care for others. And what we're watching is these people lose that, you know, become exhausted and indifferent and It's sad, really.
Yeah, I think that really puts a finger on it. And that's going to be the long-term stuff that we're going to be. You're talking about burnout. You're talking about losing meaning, and that's really critical. And so for some folks, that's going to be enduring. And if you're not having a resilient response, if you want to have a resilient response, seek help. If you're not able to, if you're not sleeping well, you know, the mental health vital signs, if you're not sleeping well, if you're drinking too much, if you're fighting with your kids and your spouse a lot, if you're seeing sort of the distress bleed out into things that matter to you, being resilient doesn't mean not seeking help. Being resilient means doing what it takes when you're not doing well. And sometimes that takes reaching out and getting some help. And whether the person that you would reach out to help you has particular expertise in the pandemic, almost nobody does. So reach out and start talking about this if you don't have a place to do that right now.
Andrew Smith of the University of Utah School of Medicine with advice there for healthcare workers struggling to come to grips with the pandemic. And I'll just say this here. I hope with my last couple of questions that I wasn't too harsh on people working in healthcare. It's obviously more complex than I may have made it seem there, and I don't want at all to dissuade anyone from pursuing the career. I have utmost respect for nurses. My mom was an RN her entire career. The point of this podcast was to try and shed a little light on what the past year has meant for people working in healthcare, on what really has been a particularly dark part of this pandemic. Any comments, questions, as always, direct them to su@dw.com.
Science Unscripted.